You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for the week. It's Friday, so this is the 5 o'clock shadow. And tonight we have Greg Davies, Chief Trader at Kratos Capital, and also Nick Kunze from Sanlam Private Wealth, both from Johannesburg. Gentlemen, we start the week with you, we end the week with you. And Nick Kunze, I'm going to have to start with you now because the S&P is getting absolutely clattered at the moment. Suddenly, we're 130, 140 points worse off than we were around about a week ago.
Yeah, that's been a shock. Good evening to the listeners. I mean, Trump, it's, you can joke about it, but Trump has found his tweet fingers again, causing, don't forget, it was last week Sunday that he set alight the trade talks and smashed the market. Well, he's at it again. Just when you thought things couldn't get worse, he came out and started, I can't even remember the full verbatim, but basically saying that we're going to make America great again, China's not going to win, we're going to sort everything out, which he subsequently apparently deleted. So maybe one of his firewalls at the White House told him to retrace it. Then he came back with something even stronger. So anyway, the end result is, S&P down almost 1.3%, the Dow getting smashed again, down 300 points. And the one that I like watching, the VIX. I mean, the VIX was 12% 10 days ago. It's now up 75% in a volatility move, well back over 20. So, it's so much for the calm. The calm has just effectively been shattered.
Greg, we've spoken about this every single day, and every time we say to ourselves, well, look, does this seem like the real thing? This time, I don't know, was it a couple of days ago that you and I and Greg Kunze, were talking?
We thought
he was right and he was wrong or something. What happened?
The tables have been turned. Yeah, we've read it completely wrong. Day one, we were right, but now, Trump has followed through.
You know, gents, the one for me to watch has always been this volatility index. It was, as Wall Street calls, the fear gauge, the VIX. It's quite an accurate sort of, I don't know, let's call it an anti-barometer. When volatility is extremely low and people are complacent and funds and pensions and all the rest of it are not protecting themselves, it's usually a sign to be a little bit cautious. And when it's very high, the opposite applies. So what's happened as of recently is this VIX has been abnormally low, indicating a move. And I think we spoke about, Lindsay, last time that I think it was like a 0.02% possibility a move of less than 0.5%, which clearly, given heading into trade wars, was too low. So what we're seeing now is, I think, a little reality kicking in and a bit of a catch-up and VIX exploding. And quite frankly, if you look at what the VIX has done, it's almost a 70% move. The S&P, which is directly correlated to the VIX because it uses its options on the VIX, that probably needs to come back even more, and we're seeing that. So, yeah, it really is. I think, guys, I mean, hang on to your seatbelts for next week, possibly, unless there's a trade deal.
Greg, did you hear that? Did you hear the fact that he took over the conversation there? And that means that he's obviously very
quite excited listening to that.
He's so excited. He's so excited about the fact that he's actually been right this week and we've been wrong. But it is interesting.
One Greg, week doesn't make a summer.
He interrupts.
You need some volatility for us brokers and even the clients and everyone to get excited about the market. We have gone through a patch mostly this year where we've grinded higher, 13-14% up on the Dow. Even the JSE has been stronger. But I've always said, in terms of getting volume through the JSE, you need drama. You need a backstory. And today we've done just over 20 billion rands worth of trade. And I mean, not being the most friendly market, quite a difficult market to trade, but the volumes are back again, and that's what we really need.
Exactly. And on that note, Greg, please give us the indexes. And sorry, Nick, you're going to have to keep quiet for around about 47 seconds now. Banks, financials, et cetera. Please, Greg Davies.
Sure. We always start with the banks, and that's actually where the right place to start. Up 3.35%,
wow,
the bank index. Up just over 2%, the financials. Industrials up 1.2%.
Just before I go on, why are they up so much? There's a massive move with the S&P futures while we were still trading being under such pressure. Are we going it alone here, Greg?
I think it's a little sort of almost relief that the elections have sort of almost gone to the script that we thought they would. And there's been no real big shocks there. And there was strong buying Thursday, Friday last week of our banks, and then got a little bit spooked off by Mr. Trump, But that money been waiting on the sidelines, and I think people thought, well, let's just get those orders filled today. And I mean, it wasn't much on the offer side. I'm looking at something like First Rand up 3.7% back at 69.50, levels we haven't seen for quite some time.
Gosh.
And on quite big volume, just over R1 billion worth of shares trading. So there's some serious buyers out there.
Okay, go ahead again and start with the banks, because I was a little bit surprised by the numbers that you started with: banks, financials, industrials, etc.
Yeah, go I'm sort of double clicking and refreshing and making sure I'm giving you the right data, because it does seem quite eye-popping. 3.3% up on the banks.
Wow.
Financials up just over 2%. Industrials up 1.2%. Retailers are saying up at 1.75%. Oh, the gold shares down 2.25%. That's it's always tough there. The platinum's up 0.71, resources down 0.5%. And the all-share index actually off its best levels, up 0.5%, up 285 points, 56,781. We did start the day sort of 600-700 points up. So as the day ground on, with Mr. Trump doing his Twitter thing, sort of knocked the wind out of the market share locally.
I'd love to look at that Twitter feed, but unfortunately, because I'm speaking to both of you via WhatsApp, I can't do it at the moment. I'll give it a try. But Nick Kunze, Steinhoff, R1.42, down 11.3%. That's the one thing I can unequivocally say on my screen at the moment. And this was R2.10 a week ago. Is this going to nothing?
I've got to be careful, I say, because I do have, a couple of clients have held on to the share against our advice.
No one's listening,
no one's listening. But this thing's trading like it's going to zero. I mean, it really, if you saw the numbers that came out recently, the auditors specifically put at the bottom at the end of the audited accounts they just released 2 days ago was, this is possibly not an ongoing concern, and you'd have to second that. Look, if anyone's going to get anything out of this, it's probably the bondholders. Who I think are pretty much holding all the cards at the moment. I mean, equity guys like us, I don't see how this thing can continue. I mean, his debt is too great. They're literally operating in an environment with cash flow to pay their debt. And there's some debt covenants due, I believe, in 2021, which are close to €11 billion that need to come through. I mean, this has got a market cap of less than $1 billion now. It just doesn't seem possible. I think it's just delaying there as well.
Can I ask you both of you the same question? How can this have possibly happened? How can the asset management industry not have seen this? How can the asset management industry have assigned this particular share 18 months ago the value of R70 a share or R80 a share, whatever it was, and it's now R1.42, and now, Nick Kunze, you're saying it's worth nothing, and Greg Davies, you're extolling the same view here. It's worth nothing. How can they have got it so wrong? Tell me, please.
Greg,
you want to give yours?
Yeah. Look, I think the thing is, before you make any investment in any listed stock, you've got to presume that the management aren't lying to you and the auditors aren't lying to you. And it'll happen once every sort of 20 years, the big case where they are lying to you. And so they misled the market completely. For someone like Deloitte to sign off on those numbers, which was so completely wrong.
So what you're saying is it's actually the auditors, not the fund management industry or the broking industry.
Well, yes, I mean, if they
you're blaming other people, in other words,
signed off by sort of a top four audit firm and saying these are the numbers, these are the profits, these are the losses, and we work our calculations on that. If they're lying to us, it's impossible for any fund manager or anyone investing to see that they're not being completely honest. I mean, Marcus Eustace is going to go down as one of the smartest criminals ever, hopefully, to sit in jail at some point. But he's really, really misled. Yes, it's exactly one of those things. He just doesn't care. Because you just wonder how long he thought he could carry on this life for. Sorry, Nick.
Let me dive in here as well, Greg. And so it's interesting how we were talking about it in the office, how this whole story sort of came to a fall. Because we're all having the same question. I've been sitting at $1.40, this is the conversation on the trading floor. And the sort of the smell about the company started offshore in when they were taking a bid for Mattress Firm, because apparently there was a short selling outfit called Citron, who are quite a smart bunch, very active short sellers, and they were looking at shorting Mattress Firm. And they said it was a giant Ponzi scheme, this Mattress Firm didn't make sense, and they were looking at putting a big short on. And then they said out of nowhere, there's this company out of South Africa bidding an extortionately high premium for this price. And like, whoa, wait, hang about, what's going on? And then they started looking at Steinhoff and they said, no. Here's the real Ponzi scheme at Steinhoff, not Mattress Firm. So it's interesting how it took someone outside our sort of blinkered South Africa to actually take a look at it and realize that the emperor has no clothes.
But if they saw that, why didn't the South African asset management industry do a little bit more work? Or do they just go to these meetings and say, well, Marcus Huster is very charismatic and he's got some resources and therefore we like Steinhoff? Why didn't the people that you've just been describing, Nick Kunze, why didn't their wisdom filter down to South Africa? And why didn't, I'm not going to say any names at the moment because I'm biting the hand that feeds me, why did people not see it? Greg, do you not understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, that is a valid question. And I suppose, yeah, we were speaking once, I mean, a couple of months ago, about the halo effect. You know, Marcus Huster had that halo effect. We thought this guy could walk on water, really could do no wrong. But Nick's quite right. I mean, Mattress Firm was being shorted by the big hedge funds. There's some more aggressive hedge funds at like $22 a share. And I think Mr. Huster walked in and paid like $44 a share.
Alarm bells.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then they must have said, okay, well, this is an easy way to fix it. Well, all we'll do is we'll short the Steinhoff. And eventually that came right. But, you know, there were allegations made in the sort of the equivalence of the Financial Mail in Germany. And
yes. I was going to say this. It wasn't Visa, that we weren't warned. It was just before they listed, Greg. I don't remember. They actually, I think their version of the SEC actually raided Steinhoff offices. And, of course, was brushed off by Mr. Visa and the like. So it's not as if we weren't told by them. We just refused to believe it.
We just could not believe
it's classic greed.
Greg, when the name Visa was mentioned, Greg, you giggled there. Was that a nervous giggle? Because is this man at the center of this whole thing? And again, don't worry, no one's listening.
I'm sort of picturing the German tax authorities with their boots kicking the door down there to sign off, and I thought, well, this seems a little bit heavy-handed at the time, but it was perfectly correct.
Jack-booted thugs. let's talk about the market in general now, and the market in general is being dominated by the S&P 500. Again, Nick, this is your story here. Tell me about one more time about what Mr. Trump has done when he's woken up with like a bear with a sore head. What has he tweeted, and why are we down so much again?
Look, so he woke up this morning, and you've got to put this in perspective that the Chinese delegation had literally landed at Washington Airport yesterday afternoon, and they're probably just having a cup of coffee and getting out of the local Hilton Hotel. Mm. And then Trump comes out and says, and I quote, because I found the thread here, "Tariffs will make our country in block capitals much stronger."
Ah,
not
there
weaker.
We go.
Just sit back.
Yeah, go on.
I lost Nick there.
Yeah, we've lost Nick there, but Greg Davies, what he's trying to say here is that, firstly, broadband in his part of the world is not good enough in South Africa. But
well, it may be Mr. Trump intervening there.
Yeah, Mr. Trump, yeah, there may be the insidious hand of Trump has intervened, but maybe you've got that tweet as well. But, I mean, I'm looking at the S&P 500 futures at the moment, and they are down. Yeah, we've got a 1.4% fall, down 38 points to 28.34. Greg, what do you think?
Yeah, it's big numbers knocked out, and it's frustrating because all the work we've done on the upside so far from January this year, the first couple of emails back from clients here saying, you know, well done, Greg, you've got us some nice returns. At the end of next month, end of this month, I'm not looking forward to those emails because the market had the wind knocked out of it by this latest set of Trump tweets.
Yeah, indeed. Nick Kunze, we lost you earlier on, but you were talking in expansive mode about Mr. Trump, and I was talking about the S&P, which is now down 37 points to 28.35 on the futures anyway. You were talking about Mr. Trump. Please tell us about this, because this is going to be the thing that's going to worry traders like yourself into the weekend. What did Mr. Trump say?
So in a nutshell, and I think putting into context that the S&P has run up, I don't know, what are we up about 10-12% since December on the back of a potential positive Chinese deal. And now, of course, that's out the window. So this morning that Mr. Trump came out and said, tariffs will make our country much stronger, not weaker. Just sit back and watch. In the meantime, China should not renegotiate deals with the U.S. at the last minute! This is where it gets fun. This is not the Obama administration or the administration of Sleepy Joe, who just let the Chinese get away with murder.
Wow.
So, of course, this is a lovely way to start the art of the deal, as Greg has mentioned.
He's mad as you.
Sure.
He's as mad as a
balloon. No, he's
a man. He's as mad as a balloon.
Lost the plot.
My hero.
Greg, not in this conversation. he's completely mad. How can he say that? How can he say that to the Chinese people? And that I've been to China, and face is very, very important to the Chinese way. It is so, so important. And he's essentially slapped them in the face when face is so important.
Pretty much. Mm. But look, it's also the delegation that literally boarded the plane from Beijing do not carry any signing capacity that I think one of the Washington Post thing was reporting that the delegation that's been sent can't say anything. They're literally going to go there, nod, scream, and get on the plane and leave. They can't sign anything. They can't negotiate. All the real power brokers didn't even bother getting on the plane. So I mean the likelihood of a deal being done, I think, is close to zero. Got
it. Oh, that's incredible. Yeah,
perhaps Mr. Trump looked at that sort of list of people that were going to be in the meeting and thought that, as Nick is saying, there's no decision makers here. Let me ramp up the pressure on the Twitter side.
Mm. But you say you quite like Mr. Trump, Greg?
Yeah, you know, I've begrudged
him. He's got a man crush.
Yeah. He's my hero. No, you know, what I like about him, and I understand people's frustration, he's like a simpleton, but he's not politically correct, and he can't be bullied by anybody. And we haven't had a leader like that probably since back to Thatcher or Churchill even.
Hitler. Yeah, let's have a look at Hitler. Hitler wasn't bullied by anybody, and he killed 6 million people. So, I mean, there's
mom,
a comparison here, Greg. So you like people that don't like being bullied. Dollar Rand is 14.18 at the moment. The British pound against the Rand is 1849. And the Euro Rand is 15.96, with the Euro dollar at 1.1240. And if we look down at the gold price, gold is 12.88, which is not bad. It's up $4 an ounce. The platinum price is 8.62. And a bit, which is up $15 an ounce. That's pretty good. Greg, we were speaking about this a couple of days ago. Look at palladium, $13.40 per ounce. Today, up $57. That's a massive, massive move. And I can't even begin to describe why that is occurring. $57 up for palladium. And the Brent crude oil price, $71.15. Nick Kunze, when it comes to the oil price, what do you think?
I think it's going stronger, but can I just add to your gold and all the precious metal asset class? I want to add another one for you, bitcoins. That literally we thought that crypto was dead last year. It's up 3% today, up 19% year to date, 19% on the month. Sorry, I'll get corrected. Year to date, Bitcoin is now up 70%. So, also some very interesting moves happening in that space. Those of you who even follow it, I don't.
Off a very very low base. Greg, Greg Davies, have you ever invested in Bitcoin or ever advise your clients to be in Bitcoin or in any other cryptocurrency?
I know you don't believe any of this, but I was at a psychic about two Saturdays ago. And the only thing that's really rung home with me, he said, stay away from Bitcoin. Other people might make money from it.
And he said this, a month ago or a year ago?
A month ago. He said,
it's only 18%
ago. Genius.
Yeah. Can you invoice him for your lost 18%?
I paid him 600 Rand for that information.
Gentlemen, what are we looking forward to next week? Apart from the fact that it's the first full week for 4 weeks, because we've had 4 weeks with... He's gone again. We've had 4 weeks of short weeks. Greg, what are we looking forward to next week?
Yeah, I suppose earnings season in the US continues. You mentioned the palladium price there. I think that's going to be something to watch. Certainly the numbers from the election, that'll be all sort of done and dusted by Sunday at least. And we'll know how much the ANC's got. We'll be watching the currency and just seeing how everything settles down post the election. I think that's what I'm looking forward to, some clarity politically.
I'm looking forward to Sunday's culmination of the Premiership year, the English Premiership season, which has been the most extraordinary in Premiership history. Greg, Liverpool, Man City, I mean, what's going to happen? Will they both win? After what I've seen this week in the European competitions, I just don't know what to say anymore.
You just don't know, but it feels like the football gods have smiled upon Liverpool. And as much as I'd hate to see them win anything, I think I have time to concede that you can't fight against karma.
You think Liverpool are going to win? I mean, Nick Kunze, you don't understand football, obviously, but I mean, at least you can make some kind of
Nick, and they don't use their hands.
Uninformed comment.
You'd be funny, but I actually lived across the road from Stamford Bridge on the King's Road for about, close to 7 years when I lived in the UK. So I do understand the thuggery of the number of fights I saw outside the front gates.
Oh, please. Who's going to win the league, Man City or Liverpool?
Got to say Liverpool, though. Look like the momentum's behind them.
Yeah, I have to agree with Nick there.
Really?
As much as it pains me. I've invented a hashtag anyone but Liverpool, but I'm just going to have to bite the bullet and let them win it. They deserve it.
So sad. Greg Davies, Nick Kunze, thank you very much for your time this evening. Greg Davies is Chief Trader at Kratos Capital, and Nick Kunze is from Sanlam Private Wealth, both of these gentlemen from Johannesburg. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with ShareNet.co.za.